Welcome to a Juno Afternoon. My name is Jamie Waste, and I will be your host for today's program. Following National Native News, we will hear from Ann Metcalf and Michelle Morgan. They're going to be here to highlight the 5th annual Capital Brew Fest. Elva Bontrager will be here to talk about Saturday's Music on the Mountain. Lauren Anderson will be here with an update on activities at the Treadwell Ice Arena. And we're going to find out about a new Rotary Club that's starting up here in Juneau. That, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more up next on a Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News and online at ktoo.org.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonio Gonzalez. Indian Country is closely watching a hearing today in Washington, D.C. over the Dakota Access Pipeline. The hearing stems from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's efforts to halt the $3.7 billion oil pipeline construction on procedural grounds. This week on talk show Native America Calling, Standing Rock Tribal Historic Preservation Officer John Eagle Sr. said he's hoping the federal judge puts an end to the pipeline construction.
What I'm hoping for is that the judge who's been assigned to this is going to read our injunctions, our TRO, and also the statements that have been submitted by myself, the chairman, and then Tim Mintz, who was brought in as an expert witness, and realize that they violated federal laws, realize that they violated federal processes and circumvented those processes.
Standing Rock officials say pipeline backers and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers failed to adequately consult the tribe during the pipeline planning process. They are concerned a pipeline break would contaminate their main water source. They also say reviews of the site where the Missouri and Cannonball Rivers meet were inadequate and failed to fully address the area's cultural significance. Pipeline company Dakota Access LLC filed its own motion for a restraining order against Standing Rock leaders and other protesters gathered at the construction site in North Dakota near the reservation. That hearing is early next month. Meanwhile, the gatherings at what are known as the Sacred Stone Camp and the Seven Councils Camp continue to gain strength. Caravans of people from across the country show up daily at the site just outside the Standing Rock Reservation. Law enforcement officials have arrested more than 24 people so far. They estimate the number of those gathered at about 800. Protest organizers put the number far higher. A court hearing in a landmark Canadian lawsuit is drawing attention in that country. At least 200 Native people showed up outside a Toronto courtroom this week for the start of the hearing. They're part of a class action suit filed against the government over the so-called 60s scoop. Dan Karpinchuk explains.
Native drummers were on hand to lead marchers to the Toronto courthouse. From the mid-1960s to the mid-80s, thousands of Canadian Native children were taken from their families and placed in non-Indigenous care, an estimated 16,000 in Ontario alone. The victims call it cultural genocide and say it's every bit as devastating as the residential schools, both designed to assimilate Native children into white culture. The victims of the 60s scoop depended on a federal-provincial arrangement, and they argue that the federal government failed to protect the children's cultural heritage with disastrous consequences to the victims. Angela Ashawasege is one of those victims. She says it's been an emotional day for her.
I've lost my culture, and I've lost my family. Even though I've been reunited with them, I still feel that I feel a sense of disconnection. I have a hard time feeling like I fit in.
The class action lawsuit is seeking $1.3 billion in damages, or about $85,000 for each affected person. The Canadian government tried for years to get the case thrown out, but was unsuccessful. It claimed it was always acting in the best interests of the children. In the meantime, the government says it will try to reach a negotiated settlement out of court. If that doesn't happen, the case will be back before a judge on December the 1st. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
13 former Navajo Nation Council delegates are learning their fate today for their role in a bribery scandal. Each was convicted on criminal charges stemming from abuse of an assistance program set up to help people facing financial hardship. The Farmington Daily News reports a special prosecutor originally filed charges against 77 of the council's 88 members. Those charges were dropped and replaced with civil complaints, although the special prosecutor continues to pursue criminal charges against many of the officials. 13 of those are being sentenced today in Window Rock District Court on charges of bribery, conspiracy, and falsifying documents. For National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Since 1970, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues like treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And I'd like to welcome into the studio Ann Metcalf and Michelle Morgan. They're both here to talk about the 5th annual Capital Brew Fest. And I'm always impressed, Ann, when I hear about anything that has survived its first year.
Well,
so congratulations.
Thank you. It's a really fun event, and it kind of has caught on like wildfire, I think, in Juneau and become well-known and a bit of an institution because we didn't have a brew fest. Haynes had a brew fest. So yeah. There was some pent-up demand the first year we did it, and that's continued.
Well, we'll talk about the event in a moment,
sure.
The details of it and the charitable giving aspect of it. But so how did it get started? So 5 years ago or 6 years ago, there was no Brewfest in the capital city. So just a little bit about how did this get started?
Well, we tossed around the idea within our Rotary Club, Downtown Rotary, who puts the event on. And we had a couple members who had been part of a club in Sacramento that put on a very large Northern California Brewfest. And I was with the brewery for 17 years, and so between us, we had some combined expertise in putting the event on. So
right.
We decided to go for it.
And it's been successful.
It has been really successful.
All right. So we'll talk about the event details in a moment. But it's also it's a fundraiser, basically. It's for charitable giving.
It's a fundraiser. Everything's donated. All the brewers come to town and donate their product, and we have bands and food and so forth. And we donate a portion of the proceeds from the event to a designated charity every year. And we have Michelle here to talk about this year's charity. Maybe that's a good segue into where some of the money's going to go.
So the organization this year is, the title is Juno, Stop Heroin, Start Talking.
Yes.
So you're involved with that organization.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Juno, Stop Heroin, Start Talking came together last year. It was actually Labor Day weekend when we lost another 20-something-year-old to a heroin overdose. And what I saw was the parents and the families not being able to talk about how their children died. And so they were really devastated. And I said, this cannot happen. This is happening across the country. So what we did is we met with JPD and met with other people, and we said we are not going to sweep it away. And we got parents, and we did some work with the legislature, and we got a bill passed that would allow naloxone, which stops an overdose, to be in the state. And that was a huge thing we worked on. And so now we want to work with parents still and families and the school kids to talk about this, because it's not going away, as we know.
Mm-hmm. So the funds raised at the Brewfest, some of these funds will come to your organization. And what will you do with the funds? I mean, is there going to be a tangible result that you can see out there?
Yes. Well, right now, when we started, we started making stickers and bracelets and things that said, you know, heroin will kill you. Please don't start. It will kill you and your friends. Bacon is better than heroin. And it really opened up this dialogue, especially with the 20-something-year-olds who we were seeing that we were losing that generation. So we will continue to do that and bring awareness and an openness and remove the stigma. But we are going to be working with a retired special ed teacher who lost her son 2 years ago to an overdose, and making a program with her to go into the schools. And we're so excited about that.
So incredibly important work, needless to say. It's painful that this kind of work is necessary and required, but important that organizations like Rotary and community members are, you know, stepping up to the table here to focus on this issue and to deal with it. In this case, and raising funds. So hats off to Rotary for that. And so let's talk about the Brewfest, the details of the Brewfest, and then we'll kind of circle back to the charitable aspect at the end here. So it's coming up, the fifth annual. Tell us about the day.
It will be Saturday, September 17th at the Jack. We started at the Jack. We're still at the Jack. Tickets, you can purchase tickets online. We've already sold over a third of the tickets. So if you want to go, people should go to www.brewfest.com.
So this is still weeks away, and you've already got that many advance sales?
Yeah.
All right. Heads up, people.
People are aware of it, and so they buy them sooner. We have breweries from all over the state. Of course, Alaskan is a stalwart and is there every year. But our coast, well, in alphabetical order, I'll tell you who's new this year is Icy Strait Brewing from Hoonah. So that's exciting. But we have Arcos from Palmer and Baranoff Island from Sitka, Broken Tooth from Anchorage, Denali from Talkeetna, Haynes, a local favorite, Hoodoo from Fairbanks, Kenai River, Midnight Sun, Skagway Brewing is coming down again for the second year, and then our three local distributors, K&L, Specialty, and Odom. So between all those brewers and distributors, it's going to be a great lineup of beers for folks to sample.
Wow, it's going to be awesome. So what does the day look like? People show up and...
People line up, and we have a VIP. We started last year a VIP-level ticket, so if you want to come a little early and sort of, we sell 60 of those tickets, I think, and those folks can get in at 12:30. And have a chance to wander the event without quite so much pressure. And then we open it up to regular ticket holders at 1, and it goes till 5. So basically you get a glass, a tasting glass, and unlimited 2-ounce pours. But, of course, we encourage responsible drinking, so if people... we watch that. And then there's music. We have three local bands, which will be terrific. And we've got Spinning Pig, and we've got Pretzels, and we've got pizza, and we have Bisque from Tracy's. So,
is it indoor, outdoor, rain or shine?
Rain or shine. It's indoor, but we take everything out of the Jack, and we open up the back so that we have that parking lot with tents.
Right.
So... It could be raining, but we don't care. We're Junoites. Rain or shine.
Michelle, have you been to the Brewfest before?
I have not been to the Brewfest. I don't drink beer, but my husband is a brewer and has won the Haynes Brewfest in the past, and he goes every year. He has poured for some of the people who come in, the brewers, and he's gone just as a person who likes beer. I usually drive down and pick him up.
That's a good thing to do.
We do have designated driver tickets. Those are available, and we encourage that. There's water available at the event. So it's a chance to see people you haven't seen in a long time, too.
Have some fun. Yeah. Drink some really tasty beer. It's amazing what beer has, the evolution of beer. It's just great. So I want to go back to the charitable giving aspect of it. And this is also a fundraiser for Rotary,
Thank
correct?
You. Yeah. Yes, it is also a fundraiser for Rotary. And all three Rotary clubs in Juneau provide a tremendous amount of community support. I mean, our projects, we just further endowed our University of Alaska scholarship this year to the tune of $30,000. And so we're putting money into education, into youth exchange, the glory hole. We have a long list of community-oriented projects that we work on, and this helps fund that.
And Michelle, and back to you. So this event will raise funds for your organization. If people want to learn more about your new organization, get involved, how do they find you, or who do they contact?
We're really grassroots. We have a Facebook page, the Junos About Parents Start Talking, and you can always reach me through that. And we're always looking for volunteers, especially after this fundraiser. We'll be doing some meetings of our own again, so probably October, November. And we bring the policymakers, JPD, our legislators, all together with our community to say what's happening and what we need and to just have a dialogue. As you know, we did that last year, and we're going to be doing that again this year.
Mm-hmm. Very good. and we've come to the end of our time. Michelle, was there anything else that you really wanted to make sure you mentioned today?
Well, we have special koozies, beer koozies, and, of course, our bracelets and stickers and some lanyards. And we'll just be having a really good time. So come out. I know my husband always has a great time when he goes, so I'm looking forward to being there also.
Well, you picking him up helps.
Yeah.
You know,
so. And I just throw out www.capbrewfest.com for the tickets. We do it all online. It makes check-in really fast.
Right. So this is September 15th.
17th.
Oh, sorry, September 17th. It'll be the 5th annual Capital Brew Fest. So there's plenty of time to get your tickets, but it sounds like tickets sell in advance, and you already got some good ticket sales, so good for you. Well, thank you for the event and to all the brewers and all the sponsors, especially for the fundraising aspect here. It's much appreciated by many people in the community. So, Michelle Morgan and Metcalf, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for letting us come
thanks.
In. Thanks.
Hey, let's have some music.
There's a place on the corner where the gang loves to meet, where the jukebox music makes you pat your feet. In the middle of the evening when the spirits are gay, the fat bartender, you will hear him say,
"Shut up!
Oh, me!"
And drink your beer. There's a man asleep neath the table in the rear.
Shut up!
I'm sorry.
And drink your beer. It's time to have another. Now Patrick Mahoney, he was always the same. He'd lick any man with an Irish name. Patrick, walk in. Now this is the place where the chorus begins.
Shut up!
I'm drinking.
And drink your beer. The man's still asleep neath the table in the rear.
Shut up!
Oh, I'm asleep.
And drink your beer. It's time to have another. Noisy, and you know that it will. The folks all around you seem to have their fill. You all know the words from beginning to end. So one, two, three, let's all sing it again.
Shut up!
Now what's the matter?
And drink your beer. The man's still asleep neath the table in the rear.
Shut up!
I want to fight.
And drink your beer. It's time to have another.
Oh, excuse me.
We're getting set up here. It's live. No, I think you're going to be fine, Elvis. So, live and local, it's a Juneau afternoon. Good afternoon, folks. My name is Jamie Waste, and in the studio now we have Mike Truax, longtime musician, Juneauite, Elva Bontrager. I don't know if you're – are you a musician or just a longtime Juneauite?
I play.
You play.
Yeah.
But big fans, big supporters of the music scene here in the capital city. And we're here to talk about Music on the Mountain, which is this coming Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. This is, I believe it's an annual concert.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question is, how many years in a row have you folks pulled this off?
I think this is the 11th.
The 11th year.
Right.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
So tell folks who don't know what Music on the Mountain is, tell them what it is.
Okay, it's up at the tram in the theater up there. And it's also piped into the dining room, so you can eat dinner while you're listening. But if you want to watch people, then you need to go into the theater. There are going to be 11 sets, and it's great fun every year.
11 sets, so 11 actual bands or acts, individual acts are going to be up there?
Mike is one of them.
Uh-huh. Mike, have you been doing this all 11 years now?
All 11, yeah. I think
he's the first one I call.
Are you the only one who's done all 11 years? Possibly?
Possibly.
Quite possibly.
Know. I've got like six fans, and Elvis is one of them. So
she
picks the performers.
Because you've done every year, do you get to choose when you go on stage?
That's up to the boss.
I ask him. I like it when he closes, because everybody stays to listen to him. But he doesn't always want to be last. So,
so for folks who haven't, you'd like to think everybody's been up on the tram, but maybe not, and maybe not into the theater. It's a great theater.
It is,
right?
a very good theater.
Yeah.
Paul Sahasky does the sound, and he is just fantastic at it.
Yeah.
So it's very well done.
Yeah.
Kathy Fanning does stage setup, and she's good, and MC is going to be Terry Tibbetts this year. She's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's comes out pretty smoothly.
Yeah. So Elva, how do you pick the 11? How do you decide every year who's going to be performing?
I try to get one or two new ones,
mm-hmm.
but I also try very hard to get crowd pleasers, because it's an audience. This is a one time a year thing, and we have a monthly concert half the size that we get people for, and that's Gold Street Music, which starts in October, but I use people from there because I already know what they do. And we get them up on the mountain. It's a very scenic place. The tram ride is unique
mm-hmm.
for Juneau. And it's just a cool place to be. And you can come this year. The kitchen's going to be open all day. And so you can come up as early as you like and have dinner. The price of dinner is for the audience is $17.95 plus tax, and for the special meal, or you can order off the menu. It's just going to be a fun night.
Mike, all these years, what's your favorite part? What's your favorite thing about doing music on the mountain?
Well, I think what has impressed me most is the sound by Paul. And it's just a very nice place to perform. It's very friendly. It's kind of, you know, a uphill audience, mm-hmm. tiered.
Yeah.
And so it's a very nice, easy place to play. The sound is really, the acoustics are really great. And, and I get to hear a lot of other great folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also a good, for the performer, it's a good audience. And
yeah.
so, and Mike is a performer.
Do you always get a real good crowd? A good turnout?
Get 200 and some.
Yeah.
Like only 226 can get into the theater.
Well, then you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
ebbs and flows. They come in and watch and go have dinner. And
yeah.
And
no, that sounds
But
like
you
a,
can hear in the dining room, so that's nice, too.
Yeah, that's a great evening. So, Ella, real quickly, just tell us about with the lineup. Who do you have coming?
Well, as I said, they're 11. So let's see, who would I stress here? The first group on, actually, they asked to be first because they have something else to do later. It's called Cuatro Cuatro, and it's going to be four ukulele players and singers, and they all have fallen in love with the ukulele. And that'll be interesting. That's John Lager
mm-hmm.
and his group. And we have Pat Henry, who's going to, Pat is our consummate mm-hmm. blues man, and he writes about local issues and national also,
yeah.
and he's a prolific songwriter.
A pillar of the local music scene.
Exactly, and the Taku Gales have been around a long time, and this year Henry Hopkins and his son, who's a prodigy, are going to be joining them, and so that'll be five altogether there. Riley Whitford's doing a set,
mm-hmm.
and Laura Zahasky is the daughter of Paul Zahasky, who's the grandfather, or the father, he's not that old, of the event, and she's going to have her own group this year, and that's going to be interesting, whoever she chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's going to do a set. He said he'll do it by himself unless he gets somebody else to play with him.
That's not a threat, that's an invitation. Right?
Well, Paul, I'll listen to him anywhere,
absolutely.
Anytime.
Absolutely, he's great.
Guy Unziker is going to do a set, and he's the son of John Unziker, who is John was going to sign on, but then he had a conflict and he begged off. But John is a music teacher, and his kids are tremendous musicians. Terry and Frederick Hoskinson, they give us a sound that nobody else does. And then the Danger is, I've heard them once before, but I don't. This is the first time they have this lineup. There are four of them this time, and I'm interested in seeing what kind of music they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Nelsons, and then Chi, Peter Lang, and Brian Nichols.
And then Terry Tibbetts does a set.
And Terry always does a good set. And then she's also going to be the MC.
Right.
And I did I miss somebody?
I don't think so.
So these are all, everybody, these are all the lineup for this.
And the local people.
This is coming this Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. This is up on the tram.
And no intermission.
No intermission. It's called Music on the Mountain. It's at the Chilkoot Theater. And Mike, I know you got your guitar here, so we want to make sure we get a little bit of music before we wrap this up. But for either of you, for anybody who, for someone who hasn't gone to this event yet, hasn't made it up there, give them a hook, something, give them a pitch as to why they should just try it this time around.
I would say that Juvenoy is an extremely talented town. It has a lot of the arts, no matter whether it's painting or writing or whatever. But the music is special. And it gives you a chance to see people up close that you may not see other times and places. And there's some that you will never want to miss. You'll say it's a good place to be.
Mike, do you want to add to that, or just play some music on
She's
the way out?
Yeah. You ready? Well, for two long years my head hurt bad, so I went to the doctor. See what he said. He said, "I'm sorry to tell you, son, but your body's outlived your brain." But I know this doctor in New York, son. He'll fix you up with a brand new one. So the head doctor met me when I stepped down off of the plane. He said, "We had this bank robber killed last night. His body's shot. His brain's all right. I'll give you a transplant, boy. You're going to be okay." Well, I got my new brain in. I was feeling great. Came right back to Juno with no headache. But then something strange happened when I walked in the bank one day. Said, "Pick 'em up, everybody, I'm robbing this place. Put all of your money in my guitar case. Don't nobody move, nobody reach for that door." And the teller said, "Aren't you my Truex?" And I said, "No, ma'am. I'm the Manhattan Flash, and I am the best bank robber in New York." Well, Elva called me last week and asked me to do a Gold Street. I went on stage, but I couldn't sing. In my very first song, about my second line, something snapped in this head of mine. I yelled, "This is a holdup. Give me your money, your credit cards, and rings." So I phoned up that old brain quack, and I said, "Doc, I need my old brain back." He said, "I'm sorry to tell you, son, but I can't do that." He said, "We gave your brain to a chicken last Monday. He's singing your songs, making lots of money. And I just signed to a 10-year recording contract." So friends, if you see me walking down the street, remember what you meet ain't necessarily me. And if I tried to hold you up, don't pay you no mind. But if you ever got 10 bucks that you can blow, you ought to go see that Michael Chicken show. You got dates and concerts and festivals all up and down the line. I said, "Pick 'em up, everybody, I'm a robbing this place. Put all of your money in my guitar case. Don't nobody move, nobody reach for that door." Well, the teller said, "Aren't you my Truex?" I said, "No, ma'am. I'm the Manhattan Flash, and I am the best bank robber in New York."
Very good. Well, just a small sample of the kind of great local original music that you're going to hear at the Music on the Mountain concert. It's this Saturday, August 27th from 5 to 9 p.m. It's in the Chilkat Theater atop Mount Roberts Tramway. Dinner special. It just sounds like a great evening, a great lineup of local talent. So Elva and Mike, thank you both very
thank
much
you,
for organizing the event all these many years, first and foremost for supporting the local mm-hmm. music
that's,
community.
That's a fun part.
And thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jamie.
Good to see you both.
Yep.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 24th of August, 2016. It was on this day in the year 410, Rome was sacked by the Visigoths, bringing an end to the Roman Empire, which at its height had stretched from Britain and the Atlantic to North Africa and Mesopotamia. The Visigoths came down from what is now Germany, led by their chieftain Alaric, who was in his mid-30s. They were incensed at the higher and higher taxes the Romans had exacted on the people in their outer provinces. So they started moving toward Rome. Alaric also wanted some position of respect within the empire. He had laid siege to the city of Rome. The Roman Senate paid him off, but when his demands were repeatedly rebuffed, he came back, waged an all-out attack, and Roman slaves rebelled. Many of them had been captured from Germanic tribes, and they opened the gates to Alaric in the middle of the night, and the Visigoths came in and burned and looted and raped and pillaged, though they did treat Christian sites and relics with some respect. It was on this day in 1456 the first edition of the Gutenberg Bible was bound and completed in Mainz, Germany, first complete book printed with movable type. Today is the birthday of the Argentinian poet and short story writer Jorge Luis Borges, born in Buenos Aires in 1899, who, with his book of short stories, A Universal History of Infamy, in 1935, gave us what we now call magical realism. It's the birthday of the writer Oscar Hiuelos, New York City, 1951, son of immigrants from Cuba, known for his stories of Cuban American life, including his book The Mambo Kings Play Songs of Love. And it's the birthday of the novelist John Green, born Indianapolis, 1977, best known for his very popular young adult novel, The Fault in Our Stars, about two adolescents with cancer who fall in love. Here's a poem for today by William Reichard, Portrait of Viola. They lived without electricity. Their water came from a hand pump at the base of the windmill, a Nebraska farm, 1935. She said, "You can't miss what you never had." Drugstore goldfish in the water tank turned into giant orange and white carp, koi, prized in another country, another class. Her father threw them out into the prairie, claiming they'd poison the cattle. Rattlesnakes, a way of life, careful checking before eggs were gathered from the darkness of nesting boxes everywhere. Heat. Gone with the Wind, 1939, she was 14. During the war, she looked like one of the Andrews sisters. First child at 20, last at 39, all survived, save one, gone at 30. The death of her daughter turned her hair white. 84, and she's lived alone for longer than she was married. Her husband, a man with a wild imagination but a weak mind. He was born the year the Titanic sank. That should have told me something. Now, central air for the worst of the heat. In her lifetime, organ transplants, space flight, television, artificial hearts. On still nights, she sleeps with just a sheet, the window open wide, summer's heat hard and dry. A poem, Portrait of Viola, by William Reichard, from his collection Two Men Rowing Madly Toward Infinity, published by Broadstone Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, a monthly devoted to discovering and publishing new voices in poetry. More at poetryfoundation.org. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Zool Bailey, virtuoso cellist and audience favorite, returns to Juneau over Labor Day weekend with violinist Kurt McKinnon and violist Scott Rawls to perform three celebrated string trios by Ludwig von Beethoven. Join Juneau Jazz and Classics at the Jack Sunday, September 4th at 7 p.m. for a magical evening of Beethoven, Bailey, and beautiful music. Tickets are at jazzandclassics.org, the Jack Box Office, or Hearthside Books.
Up next on a Juno Afternoon, we're going to get an update on some upcoming activities at the Treadwell Ice Arena. We have in the studio Lauren Anderson, manager of the Treadwell Arena, and Tracy Maxwell is here with the Juno Skate Club, and Dan Fabrello with the Juno Douglas Ice Association. So welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
And Lauren, why don't we just start with you? The arena, just maybe some basics. So if people don't have the arena in their lives or on their radar, a little bit about it, and then we'll talk about your special events coming up.
Sure. The arena opened, we're a seasonal facility, and we opened August 8th with a hockey camp, and we're just slowly getting into our season, and we have a limited schedule, and we are closed on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but we're open Mondays and Tuesdays and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then after Labor Day, we'll be open 7 days a week. So we're off to a really great start. We had a really great hockey camp to kick off the season, and we have a skating club clinic coming up this weekend, and youth hockey is doing a three-on-three. Adult hockey has been renting ice and kind of doing their own private rentals. And then in between all of that, we have open skates and stick and pucks and pond hockeys for people to come out and just practice on their own. We've got a couple of new things going on this year. We have a third grade skating program, so all third graders in the school district will be able to get a free season pass. And this will be good for open skates, pond hockeys, stick and pucks, any sort of event that the rink is putting on. And we're really excited about that. The forms are online at treadwellarena.org, or you can pick one up at the rink. And we're really excited. We had our back-to-school skate and had over 200 skaters. So people know we're open, and we're excited about the momentum that's already happening.
Yeah, that fall season rolls around, and certain activities kick in again, and I can only imagine that the arena being on the ice is one of those. Tracy, with the Juno Skate Club, you've got something coming up this weekend, right? I mean, I realize you're working all year long and you're doing things all year long, but this weekend in particular?
Yeah, so this weekend the Skate Club is offering free lessons. They're free 10-minute lessons on Saturday between 2:15 and 3:15. And it's just the opportunity for people to come on out and give it a try, even if you've never skated before. The coaches are used to that, and they can get you out on the ice and get you started. So we just really like everybody to give skating a chance, and we've got continuing lessons throughout the year that I can talk more about, but that's mm-hmm. what's happening on Saturday.
And is this for all ages?
It is for mm-hmm. all ages and all levels. Just show up and we'll take you out on the ice and get you started.
And does that include the skates and
it
what
does.
Have you?
So it's free admission, yeah. free lesson, and free skates, free mm-hmm. skate rental if you need it.
And is it an hour-long, two-hour-long session?
So the lessons on Saturday are just 10-minute lessons just to kind of get you started.
Right.
But the skate club does also have a Learn to Skate program where they do 6 week sessions of 1 hour a week lessons. And you're on the ice for an hour. There's a half-hour lesson and a half-hour to practice. And that's also all ages, starting at 4 and 5 and going all the way up to the adult program. I've been a part of the adult program, and my children have done the youth program. So we can teach anybody.
So I want to circle back to you in a moment yeah. and learn a little bit more about the Juno Skate Club. Dan Fabrello with the Juno Douglas Ice Association Youth Hockey Group. Mm-hmm. You are also got something special happening this weekend.
Correct. Yeah, in conjunction with CBJ, we're doing a Discover Hockey in that Saturday, August 27th, from 4 to 6 p.m. And that's also a free event for youth to come down. So it'll be primarily geared for kids from about 4 years old to 18. Generally, we see the younger youth come down to this, but it's an opportunity for families that are new to hockey to come down and experience their children getting on the ice, putting on hockey gear, helmets, skates. I believe the skate rental is free during this event.
It is.
During this time, we'll also have a gear swap that we'll be doing, and it's a true gear swap. So, for returning players, If you come down with gear that you've outgrown, you can come into our into the locker rooms. We've got gear laid out that you bring your gear in. You find the next size bigger. As long as your stuff is in good condition, you just leave it and grab your new stuff and walk out. If you're new and you're trying to outfit your children with hockey gear, we've got prices listed on our website. It's junohockey.com or jdiahockey.com. And the prices are very reasonable for new families. As one of the things that JDIA does is we strive to keep our prices as low as we can for new families. And so we've got intro programs that start out at $99. Our used gear is very reasonably priced, and then we've also got rental bags for kids that or for families that choose to rent gear. To try it, and that's a $100 deposit. You get $75 back when you return your gear, so very reasonable. And there's also scholarships available through JDIA as well.
And the free event on Saturday, is this the first time you've done that? Or is this an annual
activity? It's an annual thing that we do with Treadwell. And then we'll also typically we'll have one to two free events in our intro program, so people can come down and try the intro program as well, and we'll have rental bags there for people to rent. And, again, just try to get kids out on the ice and experience that first time having gear on and falling down and finding out that it doesn't hurt.
And Tracy, the free activity, is that the first time for the Juno Skate Club as well, or have you done this before?
So we definitely have done free lessons. I'm not sure if they've always been in exactly this format, right. But we've offered them before to try and get
beginning of the season. You're trying to get people interested and make it easy for people to discover, right?
Exactly.
So just real briefly, Juno Skate Club, just for people who really don't know much about it, how many, what's the age group and all the different things that you do year-round?
Okay, so the skate club started up right when the arena did, and our mission has been to teach Juno to skate. And so we have a basic skills program where we, like I would say, and it's they run them in six-week sessions, thank you. And so you're on the ice for an hour a week with a half an hour practice and a half an hour lesson, and it's $90 per session, but if you sign up early, you get a $10 discount, so it's only $80. There is a program specific for tots, 4- and 5-year-olds, and there's also lessons specific for adults. And then there's a range of programs that teach by your level. And so you can progress the programs if you want to be – I'm rambling.
No, this is great.
And then we also offer figure skating programs. And the program is switching from a basic skills lessons that we've done in the past. And this year they're trying out a new Learn to Skate program that's a little more geared – to a universal, getting people on the ice, teaching people to prepare for hockey or recreational skating or figure skating, whichever. So
if you've piqued someone's interest and they want to learn more about it, website, you guys have a website to go to?
The website is www.junoskatingclub.com.
And then, Dan, for the youth hockey, just kind of the same idea, year-round.
Of course, the rink isn't open year-round. We wish it was, but it's not.
So you have dry training.
The kids find other things to do during the summertime. Actually, USA Hockey promotes the American Development Model, which is the ADM. Kids don't just focus in on one sport. They're not one sport oriented. We want kids to run and play basketball and ride bikes and play soccer and do all these things that build muscle coordination. JDIA's mission is to promote hockey and Juno. It's to grow self-esteem for our youth and to kind of empower them to love the sport of hockey. It's actually USA. We follow USA Hockey's recommendations, and that is by the time they're adults, hopefully they've learned to love the sport of hockey. I mean, that's the end goal. They're not all going to go to the NHL. There's thousands and thousands of kids across the country and across the world that play, but we strive to have a very competitive program, send as many kids to tournaments that we can, and have them experience that that joy of competition. And sometimes you lose, sometimes you win, and we've actually have quite a few banners from state tournaments that we have hanging up in the arena. So if you've never come down, you can check out the different trophies that the association's won, and the different banners that we have up. And as part of our season kickoff, you know, we've got an early bird registration discount, and that's $40 off the registration costs, and that's again very helpful for families that have got, especially if you've got one or multiple kids playing. It's a substantial discount, and it also helps JDIA to figure out what our numbers are for the season, so that as we rent ice from Lauren, which is the rink manager, we are confident that our numbers are there, so that we can pay for the ice that we've allocated for ourselves. So
back to you, Lauren.
Yeah, I was just going to add, you know, skating is a life skill, and what you learn, whether you're a figure skater or a hockey player or a recreational skater, just getting out on the ice and the skills you learn with that, with the sport, is really amazing. And the events that we're doing on Saturday is a combo. It's a donation of ice time from the rink to the organizations to help build the programs and get people out there. And even if you're not a skater, come out and just watch. There's so much to see as a spectator at the rink, whether it's Saturday for our special events or for a high school hockey game, which will start up in October, or a special skating event. And we have amazing skaters in our community that have learned the skill from nothing. I mean, it's amazing because we didn't have a rink 15 years ago, and it's really, really neat to see and watch all of our community grow and learn at our facility.
We've run out of time. Lauren, do you want to just real quickly promote again the special activities that are happening this weekend?
Sure. This Saturday, Juno Skating Club will be offering skating lessons free from 2:15 to 3:15, and youth hockey will have a Discover Hockey gear swap on Saturday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So come on out, give skating a try, or just come and watch. We'd love to see you.
Dan, Tracy, Lauren, thank you for coming in, and thanks for all of your efforts in promoting, you know, healthy activities and all the life lessons that go along with pursuing these things. It's good for people, and we all know that, but it takes people to make it happen for everyone. So thanks for what you do.
Yeah, dedicated volunteers.
Thanks,
it's amazing.
See you on the ice.
This is Bird Note. Listener Nick Woodowis of Vancouver Island, British Columbia, tells this amusing story. I walk nearly every day along the beach and on the forest trails. One time last fall, when the tide was low, a group of gulls and crows were on the beach, mooching about, looking for what had been washed up. I saw an immature gull feeding on a dead crab. Evidently, a crow saw it too. As I watched, the crow hopped up behind the gull. As crows do, it turned its head to one side in a, what have you got there, type of look. Then, the crow reached out with its beak, pulled on one of the gull's tail feathers, and immediately hopped backwards. The gull turned around to see what had touched it. The crow looked away all innocent. The gull went back to the crab shell, and the whole scene was repeated. But this time, when the gull turned around, the crow was quite a way behind and to the side of him. The crow was making a big fuss, digging in the sand for some hidden treasure. The gull became intrigued by what the crow was after and moved over to have a look. In a flash, the crow hopped up and grabbed the crab shell. Very crafty, these crows. Thanks, Nick. Hey, what's your story? Share it at birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
And in the studio, Jamie Letterman and Shelley Wright have joined me, and they are here to talk about a brand new Rotary Club that you guys are getting started. I'm sure others are helping you, but you're trying to get a new Rotary Club started here in Juneau. And you have an event tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock in Rockwell, correct?
Correct.
All right. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
So I think a lot of people know what Rotary is, but maybe just real briefly for people who don't have an appreciation for what Rotary is and does.
Rotary is a service organization, and I think we're all fairly familiar with service organizations and kind of the idea behind them and what they do. And Rotary is a very old one. We are coming up on 105 years old, I think, now. And really our main focus for this is to continue to grow Rotary in our community. And, you know, it's all over the world. It's a worldwide organization. It's very recognized, reputable, does a lot of good. Service above self is really the ultimate goal. And in any way that you can define that is appropriate.
Is Juneau a Rotary-rich community?
I think Juneau's a very Rotary-rich community. And like you said, most people do know what Rotary is, and there are a lot of Rotary members, but there's also a lot of people that could be members that aren't. And, you know, Rotary is generally perceived as a daytime, luncheon, breakfast type get-together, and this is a new opportunity to do it in the evening and reach some more folks.
So let's talk about that. What's you're setting out to create something new here. What was the motivation? What was the spark?
Well, the beauty of this Rotary is it's going to connect with a new demographic of people. It's going to connect with the moms with kids and not necessarily the business owners, but the workers or the just everyday person. We're meeting less often than a normal Rotary meets, and our focus is really fun, fellowship, and service. And so we're really hoping, like Jamie said, to grow the Rotary family in Juneau and make it bigger and reach a different kind of people that it has been able to be involved before.
So there was a perceived need. There was a niche here to be filled. Is that how this started attracting energy and getting people behind the idea?
Yes, and Rotarians over the years have come and gone, and for various reasons, attendance, not being able to make a lunch meeting every week, and it's fairly rigid feeling. There's some fancy terms out there in the Rotary world, like the Council on Legislation, and there are some rules that we have to follow. But I think what's happening is with our new generations up and coming, they're realizing that we can't all fit in that box anymore, and us older folks are having to be a lot more flexible these days, and just with people's lives in general. So Shelley mentioned a couple of good demographics and new young professionals, kids coming out of, or I should say young adults coming out of college and things like that that we're missing the mark on as far as Rotary is concerned. And so the idea is to be more flexible and inclusive and try to get that family bigger. Yeah.
So tomorrow you have an event. What are you hoping to accomplish? What's the purpose behind the event?
The event is mostly a meet and greet. We just want people to come out and see what our perception of Rotary is all about. We're kind of waiting to get a group of members to really define ourselves. We want to define ourselves by who's part of the club. We're waiting to see, do we have young people that are really go-getters and anxious to do a certain project or have a specific focus? And so we really haven't defined ourselves. This particular event and the upcoming events are going to just be a way for people to meet and greet and get together and find out what the Rotary that we're trying to build is all about.
And if they want to be a part of it.
Yeah, a unique opportunity. I mean, it's at the very beginning of this, and there's actually an opportunity to help create this with you folks.
Absolutely. This is very exciting. There hasn't been a new Rotary Club chartered in Juneau in, 50 years.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. We've got three clubs, and they're pretty established. I'm trying to remember if the Gaston was. Sorry, Gaston, no club. I don't remember. anyway, we all work collectively together quite a bit. The three existing Rotary Clubs and the fourth club will just be another finger on the hand, and it's going to be really great. So we're pretty excited.
Yeah.
So has it been hard to get to this point? Are there a lot of hoops and hurdles to the, you know, with respect to the organization, I assume there's some protocol here.
There is definitely some protocol, and we have been meeting for several months now, and, you know, there's definitely a process, and we are pretty far along in that process, and the final hurdle is really you have to have X number of people, which are considered your charter membership group. So these meet and greets are really to build that charter base so that we can put in our final piece of paperwork, say this is our list of charter members, we're ready to go.
How many people do you need? I mean,
25.
And can I ask how many do you have?
It's more than
just the two of you, I hope.
Well, there's five of us
at
the moment.
Yeah.
The steering committee is made up of five individuals, Shelley and I included. And I think we are not going to have any problem with that. Our tentative list is well over 25 at this point. So, but the more the merrier, and, you know, getting those folks signed on that bottom line. And I think, you know, for me, I've been in Rotary for 16 years, and it's about fun and fellowship and service. Mm-hmm. You know, when you want to go do a project or there's a project to be done, and Shelley's my best friend, and I know she's going to be there, I want to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of this, it just builds that excitement, and it makes doing service a lot more fun.
In a new club, you get to decide what kind of service and what kind of projects you want to take on, correct?
Yes.
So you're not necessarily with some traditional thing, we've always done this, and therefore we always do this, and, you know, opportunities.
And that's the fun of it. Yeah. Really, that's the fun of it, is just really having the opportunity to start fresh and new and get fresh new minds involved and started with the projects or the services that are out there and just have lots of fun doing it.
And there's a lot of ideas out there. Juno any community can always use service in some way. And, you know, Shelley may be involved in an organization that I'm not aware of that has a need that we don't know about. So we're really going to be looking to that charter group to tell us, what do you know about? What can we be involved in? What are your interests? And then, like she said, kind of build based on the interests of the group and, you know, kind of define our personality. Mm-hmm. And one of the nice things about this, which we didn't mention, is that we are actually meeting twice a month, not every week in the traditional Rotary sense.
Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, 5:00 at the Rockwell, for people who show up, what's the format? I mean,
it's going to be pretty casual.
Pretty casual, okay.
Pretty casual. We'll probably have, we'll have some things around the room that will kind of define what we're doing. And we actually have several meet and greets set up over the next month and a half just to kind of continue this momentum of getting people familiar. We have a mission statement. We have, you know, some things lined out that will be there people can look at. But really just mingling and mixing and kind of getting to know each other. We'll do a short little presentation, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and just kind of talk about where we are, what our intentions are, and
some light hors d'oeuvres, a no-host bar, dinner afterwards.
Important details to get out
all
there for
people. All
of that
stuff will be there, readily available for you all.
We're kind of coming to the end of our allotted time here, so anything else that you really wanted to mention before we move along?
I just wanted to mention one more time that this is an opportunity for people who are curious about Rotary and have always thought, oh, that's not for me because I don't fit in that area or I can't go to lunch on Wednesday or something like that. And if you're curious at all about Rotary, please come by and see what it's all about because this is an opportunity for a new wave of Rotary.
Jamie, anything to add?
I think that pretty much sums it up. And, yes, please do come by. We'd love to see everybody.
And you don't have to join if you come by.
No, it doesn't mean you have to join.
Well, good luck to both of you, and good for you for having the energy and the ideas here to start something new. And, of course, hats off to Rotary just in general.
Absolutely.
For all of the great work that's done in this community and across the country and around the world. So, Jamie Letterman, Shelley Wright, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah.